Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kingdom, and we thank you for our King, Jesus Christ. We pray that you will give us the courage to live as you have called us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, my name is Jeremy, and I'm the Associate for Compassion Ministry here at Holy Cross. And for 2 years, my wife, Nicole, and I were missionaries with the most poor and vulnerable immigrants on our southern border in Mexico and Texas. And while I was in Mexico, I met a man named Hector. Hector is a Mexican pastor in the town of Reynosa, and his life is committed, totally committed, to living as one who truly cares for the least of these. And years ago, while Hector was still homeless, he started a shelter for immigrants in the middle of cartel territory in Reynosa, Mexico. And as the immigration crisis continued throughout the 90s and 2000s, his ministry was simple and steadfast: to provide food, water, shelter, and security for immigrant families. And all this he did in the name of Jesus Christ, while regularly preaching and teaching God's word. And to me, Pastor Hector is the epitome of what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. And as we celebrate Christ the King Sunday today, and as we live out his ministry, our gospel reading points us to just this life. Jesus teaches us that as citizens of the kingdom of God, we are called to actively care for the poor and vulnerable. This teaching takes place just before the Last Supper and before Judas' betrayal. In chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew, Jesus offers his disciples a glimpse at the end of time. Jesus tells his disciples that there will be great suffering and persecution following Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. And this is something the early followers of Jesus knew very well. As Jesus tells his disciples this and more, he gives them and he gives us a powerful look at the kingdom of God. He shows us what life in the kingdom of God looks like and what God's final and complete victory looks like. But this teaching comes with a calling. Jesus teaches us that as citizens of the kingdom of God, we are called to actively care for the poor and vulnerable. So in the context of our teaching, like I said, Jesus is teaching his disciples about the end of time, that life as we know it will come to an end. But he also teaches that he is king and that he will come back as king. And so God is calling us to live lives that are prepared for his return. Not out of fear, but out of hope. Jesus Christ the King calls us to live with the knowledge that he is coming again to judge the living and the dead, and that his kingdom will have no end. And in this passage today in Matthew 25, he teaches us that as we live with this knowledge that he is coming again, we are to cast off the prince of darkness, to fight against the powers and principalities at work in this world, dragging people into sin and death. And one of the ways that we do that is by loving and caring for the most poor and vulnerable in our world, just like Jesus did. And for us, that means that we live as a people who literally treat the poor and vulnerable as if it was Jesus in front of us. Because Jesus is close to the poor and vulnerable. He is in them. Our King, Jesus, is calling us to show mercy, just as he has shown us mercy. And we aren't called to show mercy to the poor as a way to earn salvation or as a way to pay him back for what he has done for us or out of fear of his judgment, but simply because this is the way that God, this is the way of life that God has called us to live. Because he has shown us, he has shown me and you immeasurable mercy. Because as citizens of the kingdom of God, we are called to a higher way. We are called to serve the king. And to serve the king is to serve the very lowest and the least. And to serve the very lowest and the least is to serve the king of all creation. And I think it's fair to recognize that this is kind of a hard teaching, that this is a heavy passage. It carries with it a weighty and tremendous calling for us, a calling of eternal consequence. But in my opinion, this is a tremendously wonderful calling. It's a tremendously wonderful calling to join with Jesus in his life-changing ministry. And in this passage, Jesus reveals some of the why behind this calling to love the poor and vulnerable. He tells us more about what it means to live as citizens under the kingship of Jesus. So we're going to do a quick exercise here, if you'll humor me for a moment. I'm going to teach you what Mother Teresa called the five-finger gospel. So if you would, put your hand out in front of you like this, whichever hand, and follow with me, like in a fist. Let's do a fist. Follow with me. You did it to me. You did it to me. Five words of profound consequence in our lives. And you could spend your whole life meditating on those five words, contemplating the consequences of those five words. And you would still find them to be powerful and beautiful. Because this is the heart of Jesus, and it's the heart of our calling. Jesus' heart for the poor calls us to share in his ministry. And it's a tremendous and weighty calling. This calling to love and show mercy to the poor and vulnerable, as if we were doing it to Jesus himself. It's made ever more complex as well by today's many challenging circumstances, by many who claim that to show any sign or show any mercy is a sign of weakness. And it's fair to say that there are many critics of this teaching of Jesus. I've heard many people say that anytime you offer food or money to the hungry on the street, that all you're doing is enabling cycles of poverty and addiction. Others have said that there are those prisoners whose crimes are so heinous, their guilt so great, that they should never have the chance to receive Christ's mercy. Or, and this is where things start to get very sticky and complicated, that we should not show mercy and welcome to the immigrant in our land. These are hard and complex topics that Jesus is calling us not to ignore, but to respond to with mercy and grace. Now, I would love the chance to teach extensively on each of these people that Jesus mentions in this passage. The hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the imprisoned, the immigrant, and the sick. Because as we look to live out God's word, and especially this text today, each of these situations requires a tremendous amount of wisdom and grace. But today, because each situation is so complex and fraught with political undertones, I want to just take a few moments to talk about each one and about specific ways that we can show mercy to the poor and vulnerable in our community right here in Loganville and Gwinnett County. So there are sort of three groups that I want to break this down into. We have the poor, the imprisoned, and the immigrant. And I'm going to group the hungry, thirsty, naked, and sick into this group, the poor. So we have the poor, the imprisoned, and the immigrant. We're going to start with the poor. It's been said by Christian scholars who study poverty that all poverty is because of four broken relationships. Those four broken relationships are with God, with ourselves, with others, and with creation. With God, ourselves, with others, and creation. Because poverty in all its forms is not material at its core, but relational, God is calling you and I to be in relationship with the poor, just as Jesus was. Throughout his ministry, this is what he did. And part of those relationships is to offer them tangible physical signs of God's mercy and meeting their tangible physical need. Elsewhere in Matthew, as Jesus feeds more than 5,000 people, they come to him hungry. Hungry for the word of God, absolutely. And he feeds them with the word of life. But they're also hungry, like stomach growling, physically hungry. And he gives them food, bread and fish. He miraculously and mercifully gives them food to eat. He does not push them away. He does not tell them to go get their own food. He provides. He takes care of their needs. Or when the countless sick throughout Jesus' ministry are brought to him, he doesn't push them away. He accepts them and heals them, and he offers them hope. He offers compassion to the poor. He suffers with them. And this is one of the main themes and requirements of walking with the poor, compassion, which means quite literally to suffer with. We are called, like Jesus, to suffer with the poor. Christ suffers with the poor, and he suffers with you and I. He knows hunger and thirst. He knows a body that doesn't work right. He knows sickness. He knows poverty. And he is calling us, you and me, to walk alongside the poor and vulnerable with compassion and mercy and kindness. He really does ask us to do that. He really does ask us that when we see someone hungry or thirsty or naked or sick, that we provide food and water, clothes and healing. He's not just speaking metaphorically here. Jesus is dealing with the most real and raw parts of human life. 1 John 3 says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person?" Jesus calls us to treat the poor with the same mercy that he has shown us, to take care of the poor in tangible ways, just as he has taken care of us. So that's the poor. Now the imprisoned. When you read those who have studied this passage, those scholars, you'll find that there is a debate about whether Jesus is speaking of caring only for fellow believers, or if he's speaking more broadly. Some have asked, are we only to visit fellow believers who are unjustly imprisoned? Or are we to visit the imprisoned and care for their families irregardless of their guilty status? But throughout his ministry, Jesus simply does not delineate between those we are to love and those we are to withhold love from. That's a simple truth. Those we are to care for and those we are to ignore. His way, Jesus' way, is love. And the way of Christ's love calls us to visit and care for even the most heinously guilty prisoners, to share Christ's mercy with them. This way of Christ's love calls us to share with them that very same undeserved mercy. This mercy that he shows us day in and day out. So here at Holy Cross, I'm working to create opportunities for us to do that. So you can pray for me as we look to do that, to visit prisoners and care for their families. We're going to have the chance to talk with and pray with prisoners, to provide support and care for their families on the outside. We'll have the opportunity to join in God's reconciling mercy. And so please be praying about how you can participate in this ministry to those who are incarcerated. In the meantime, if you know someone who is in prison, maybe a family member or a friend or another acquaintance, can you pay them a visit or write them a letter? I know that I or any of our pastors here would love to go with you to visit them or help you write a letter. We're also going to have an opportunity for the men here at Holy Cross to go into Phillips State Prison in just a couple of weeks. On December 9th, with a ministry partner called Kairos, which I know Holy Cross has been involved in the past, any adult men are going to be able to go into the prison for a morning and meet and pray with and minister with some of the imprisoned men there. So if you're interested in that, men of Holy Cross, come talk to me after the service or this week, and I can give you more details. But that's going to be a chance for us to live out Jesus' teaching in Matthew 25. So that's the imprisoned, and now we get to the sticky one. It's a politically charged topic for sure. It's immigration. Jesus tells us, "I was a stranger, and you welcomed me." So I mentioned earlier that before coming to Holy Cross, my wife, Nicole, and I were missionaries along the Texas and Mexico border. This was a ministry supported by the mission funding of Holy Cross. And so I can tell you firsthand that our immigration policies need fixing, and they need a lot of it. And godly Christians in this room and outside this room are simply going to disagree on the best ways forward, and that's okay. But that's a conversation for another time and place. What we're talking about today is exactly what Jesus is calling us to do as it concerns immigrants in our land. Because as big as our immigration policy problems are, I can also tell you that the scale of human suffering of the humanitarian crisis on the border is heartbreaking. It's at heartbreaking levels. The stories I heard of family after family escaping unimaginable violence, only to face an extremely treacherous journey to our country, would bring you to tears as they have I. Families who lose children along the way, young boys who lose legs along the way, and then when they get here to our country, they face prejudice and uncertainty. These are the simple factual realities that immigrants face. And yet, of all the topics throughout the Bible that require serious nuance and care, God's command to love the immigrant in our land is as clear as day. He calls we, his people, the church, to remember that we were once strangers. He calls us to remember that he has shown us tremendous, undeserved mercy. He calls us to remember that God was incarnate in a family that was forced to flee across borders, seeking safe haven from unimaginable violence in their homeland. Jesus' parents were forced to make the heartbreaking decision to leave all that they had known, their language and people, to find a safer life for their baby boy in a far-off and unknown land. Holy Cross, we are called to welcome the stranger. We are called not to judgment, but to mercy and welcome. And so as we start to engage in our local community right here in Loganville, we're going to find that there are many immigrants inside our doors and right outside our doors, just down the road, many of whom face uncertain status in this country. But in the children and families you encounter, God is calling you to extend hospitality and welcome, to show mercy, to see Jesus in your brother and sister in Christ, even if they speak a different language than you or eat a different food than you or think very differently than you. Let us not mistreat the immigrant in our land. And so as we come to communion, remember just that. The that you were made for communion with God, and that in our neighbor, in the poor and the hungry, in the immigrants and the imprisoned, that we can experience Jesus himself. That in the Eucharist, we are made one with Christ and one with one another. See, we are all equally in need of his mercy as we sit at his feet. And so as we go out into the world, remember that that person in front of you that you encounter is made in the image of God. That that person is a bearer of God's most holy image. And when you have an opportunity to choose between judgment or mercy, to withhold or to give freely, to fear or to welcome, pray for the courage to offer mercy, to give freely with open hands, and to offer welcome and hospitality, as you would if it were Jesus himself standing in front of you. Jesus tells us that how we treat that person has impacts in eternity. How we love the poor, the imprisoned, and the immigrant shows our love for our Lord Jesus. Christ the King teaches us that as citizens of his kingdom, we are called to actively care for the poor and vulnerable. Jesus says, "The King will say, 'Truly I say to you, as you did to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me.'" Amen.